Even though Red Sox pitcher Connor Siebold's second major league start on Monday night did not go as planned, Siebold has still been dealing in Worcester throughout the 2022 season. And I had the opportunity to interview Connor before he made his second start and was called up to the Red Sox this past week to ask him about what has made him so successful this season throughout AAA and more. Let's get into it.
You are Locked On Red Sox, your daily Boston Red Sox podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
I want to welcome you back into the Locked On Red Sox podcast, and thank you so much for making Locked On Red Sox your first listen of every single day. I'm your host, Massachusetts Pirates team insider, Jake Ignaszewski. And since the Sox had an off day yesterday, I decided it would be a perfect opportunity to do this week's farm report. And what better way to do that than talk about and interview one of the Red Sox's starters this past week. Now, when I recorded this interview with Connor Siebold, I didn't plan on him being caught up as quickly as he was, but I was also hoping that he was able to output a really good performance when he did ultimately get caught up. As we saw on Monday, that wasn't the case. He ended up pitching 4 2/3, allowing 9 hits, 7 earned runs, 1 walk, and 7 strikeouts to the Toronto Blue Jays in Game 1 in Toronto. Not exactly how most fans wanted things to go. Definitely not how I wanted things to go, but he did look good, forcing 19 swing and misses, which is tied for the most by a pitcher this season. But one of the biggest reasons I wanted to talk to Connor Siebold was because before he was called up this past week, he had been wheeling and dealing in over 11 starts in Worcester, sporting a 5-1 record, striking out 51 batters with a 2.09 ERA. And he's really impressed for the Red Sox in their AAA affiliate. Ever since he was traded over in that trade deadline deal with Nick Pivetta from the Philadelphia Phillies. And it's pretty crazy looking back on how much the Red Sox fleeced Philadelphia in that deal. Looking at Workman and Hembry, both of the guys that the Red Sox and Chaim Bloom sent over to the Phillies are not in baseball right now. And Nick Pivetta is now the second or third starter in that Red Sox rotation. It has just been so dominant. And Connor Siebold is really doing well in AAA, but still trying to find his footing in the major leagues. But in my interview with Connor, I had the opportunity to talk to him a little bit about what has made him so effective this season in AAA, what he's been working on. Also, what process does he go through after he has a tough start, and how does he really try and figure out how he should have done better? And then lastly, a few random facts that I think you guys would find interesting. But after seeing how Siebold did in his second major league start, obviously not what we wanted, but I'm curious to hear his thoughts on it. I'm curious to see what he plans on doing during his time in AAA to learn from some of his mistakes that he had in his start against the Blue Jays, and how he'll continue to work on those things during his time in Worcester. Going to do my best. I'm going to try and get that interview next week. And if I do ultimately get it, that interview will be for the farm report of next week's episode. But before we get into my conversation with Connor Siebold, I just want to take a second to talk to you about Bet Online. So with how well the Red Sox have been doing in June, you got to get on Bet Online and start betting on this team going into July, whether it's the money line, whether it's the spread, whether it's, you know, Rafael Devers, Xander Bogaerts, hits, home runs, RBIs, whatever. BetOnline is your number one source for all your betting needs and sports info. And they're also a great place for you to find scores, podcasts, news this season. And it's the fastest and easiest way to find all your favorite sporting events like MMA, boxing, golf, Major League Baseball, and head over to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and action at BetOnline. where the game starts. So let's get into my conversation with Connor Seabolt.
How have you been feeling so far this season?
Good. You know, I had the pec thing for a few weeks. You know, it kind of sucked to miss some time, but you know, got back at it last week, felt pretty good, and then knocked some rust off, got, you know, to where I think I left off last night. Everything felt really good.
And you were really effective last night, you know, obviously going five innings, only allowing three hits and striking out five. So what's made you so effective so far this season, especially last night?
Throwing strikes. You know, fastball, slider have been just the combo, and, you know, mixing in the occasional changeup and curveball has really done a lot. Last night, I mean, I mixed everything in and, you know, throwing them for strikes, getting guys to swing, getting guys to miss. I mean, that was about as good as I could ask for.
Is there anything specific that you're really working on right now on the mound?
Well, right now, I mean, I'm just trying to build back up from the injury, but outside of that, I mean, you know, I've been trying to sprinkle in some curveballs as much as possible. It's kind of a new pitch. I'm still, like, trying to get the feel, but, I mean, recently I feel like they've been pretty good, and I think, you know, if it keeps progressing the way it is, I think I have a solid fourth pitch, so... Yeah, I'd say that's probably the biggest thing right now.
And, you know, we saw in May when you played against Rochester, you had a little bit of a rough outing, allowing five runs. But then you played them 5 days later and only allowed one hit. So after games like that where it might be a rough start, what sort of process do you go through to understand maybe what didn't go so well and how you can improve during the next start?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's all about adjustments, especially, you know, when you face a team twice in 1 week. Like, you know, they're gonna make adjustments on you as much as you're making adjustments on them. So it's as far as it's just a matter of, you know, focusing on the right stuff, focusing on what you did wrong, what you could do better. And I mean, I know this is kind of cliche, but, like, you know, just kind of moving on to that next outing, kind of flushing the last one out. And you know, I thought my execution was a lot better in that second game than it was the first. I thought my stuff was better. And, you know, they're playing great right now. And so that was kind of, you know, something that I kind of took to, not personally, but, like, I wanted that second outing because, you know, they kind of beat us up all week. And I wanted to get out there and, you know, try and shut them down.
It definitely showed in the stats, those adjustments. And I was curious, do you have any sort of game day rituals that you usually stick to before a start?
I used to have a lot. I've kind of, like, toned it down a little bit. I typically will try and wear the same thing to the field, you know, some good good mojo. Outside of that, like, you know, I'll shave before I go to the field, but I mean, yeah, there's not a whole lot that I do, that's, like, you know, the less of those you can have while still, like, you know, staying comfortable, staying, like, prepared is kind of a better thing, because, you know, you're on the road, you're not going to be able to pull that off every time. So, yeah, I mean, nothing crazy.
That makes sense. And something that I've tried to do with these interviews is mix in a little bit of get-to-know-you questions outside of baseball, so then the fans can get to know you. So do you have any hidden talents or anything like that you might want to share?
I can draw pretty good. Actually, I have a second Instagram account. Haven't used it in, like, 2 years, but, you know, I got, like, really, really into drawing a couple of years ago, like into, you know, sharing my stuff. And so I'll post stuff every once in a while, but, I mean, if you follow it, don't look for anything new anytime soon. But it's actually in my actual Instagram bio is the link to the other one. So if you guys are interested in checking it out, go over. It's nothing mind-blowing, but, I mean, I thought it was good enough to share, so.
I'm definitely going to have to go and give that a follow. That's pretty cool, man. Do you have any things that you like to specifically draw?
I'm big into, like, the tiki stuff, and so, like, the tropical vibe. And so a lot of it is based around that. Yeah, I mean, I typically stick to that, but every once in a while I mix it up.
And then lastly, outside of baseball, what's on your bucket list?
On my bucket list? That's a good question. Damn, you're putting me on the spot, too.
I've heard a lot of traveling. That's what a lot of people have been saying. But anything other than traveling specifically that, like, Let's say tomorrow somebody told you, you know, you got 24 hours. What would you do?
Well, shit, I guess I'd travel. Yeah. Also, sorry for that. Yeah, I know you said besides traveling, but I mean, I guess that's a cop-out answer, but...
Is there any specific place?
Yeah, I mean, I really would like to go check out, like, you know, some of the Pacific Islands. I think that would be cool. I mean, I've never been to the Bahamas. I've never been to a lot of those places. Another one, though, is Ireland. Ireland would be cool. I've talked to my fiance a bunch, and, like, we eventually want to do that trip. So I think that would be on the bucket list if I had to put anything.
I hope you guys did enjoy my conversation with Red Sox pitcher Connor Seabold, and I'm very excited to see if I will be able to have the opportunity to talk to him next week in Worcester. Crossing my fingers, but if I don't, I'm still going to try and get him in the following weeks or so. But don't worry, we have some very exciting interviews planned for the Farm Report segment. Guys like Brian Fitzgerald, you know, maybe some Yomer Sanchez down the line. We'll see. Get excited and make sure to subscribe to the Locked On Red Sox podcast on whatever audio platform that you're listening to. And we also post the video version on YouTube. So if you're watching my beautiful face from there, go down there and click the subscribe button, because we post 5 days a week, sometimes 6 days a week, to keep you updated about your favorite team, the Boston Red Sox. Every single game, we do a game recap. And every single week, we also do this little segment called the Farm Report, which you're watching right now, to keep you updated about what is going on with the Red Sox in the farm system, and to also bring you exclusive interviews with Red Sox prospects. But as always, we greatly appreciate everybody tuning in and for making Locked On Red Sox your first listen of every single day. And talking about prospects, make sure to make your second listen Locked On MLB Prospects. Host Lindsey Crosby is your prospect encyclopedia, and he's going deep on the MLB stars of today and tomorrow. It's free and available wherever you get your podcasts. And do you know what's also free? Following Locked On Red Sox on Twitter. It's LO_Red Sox. You can also follow myself over there. It's at Jake Iggy. And also my co-host Lauren is La 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 with 3 La's, Lauren with 4 R's. But we greatly appreciate everybody tuning in to this episode of the Locked On Red Sox podcast, and also for all the support that you guys give us each and every single day and each and every single week. But hope everybody has a great, relaxing weekend, enjoys this beautiful weather. Happy 4th of July early, and I hope you're able to spend some time with your family as well. But hopefully the Sox can continue this great winning run into July against the Chicago Cubs. But we'll end this episode how we always end it. Let's go, Sox. Peace.